Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Miguel swings it to fly ball, right field, way back and right. Garcia to the fence, looking up, and it's gone, a home run.
Wow.
Miguel Cabrera with a two-run shot to right is 24th, his fifth home run in the last week. The Tigers hit it.
This 106.5 The Ticket Sports Exclusive is driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Matthews got it, throws. He's got Golden Tate who makes the catch. Inside the 15, inside the 10, and he's biking away. He's into the end zone. Pack the bags, start the plane. This game is over. Oh, baby, how big is that?
Get ready. It's now drive time.
Sweeping left side, 10-5. Touchdown, Curtis Samuel. And the Buckeyes win it in overtime. A game that they trailed by 10 points to give Ohio State a 30-27 victory over the University of Michigan.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocks the shot. Sent Gretzky in. 3-0.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, center of cup, President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody, how are you? Another edition of Drive Time. This is ESPN 106.5. The Ticket is always driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. We're at Forest View Lanes tonight, everybody. A lot to talk about. Great things happening here as always. Again, welcome to the show. A big weekend. We're going to touch on a couple of things at 5:15 tonight. Jim Garfield, he was the high school coach of JT Barrett, the Ohio State quarterback, who set two career records this past weekend, total yards passing and total yards cumulative. So congratulations to JT Barrett out of Wichita Falls, Texas. Ryder High School. It's been a while since we had Jim Garfield on, so I thought I'd give him a call to talk about. Well, down in Texas, he has, believe me, coached a lot of pretty darn good high school football players that went on to play in college, but I guess you'd have to put JT Barrett at the top of that list. Then we're going out to Yankee Stadium in New York. Lavelle Neal will join us, longtime beat writer for the Minnesota Twins. Twins and the Yankees go at it tomorrow in game one, the only game, the wild card play-in game. The winner, of course, will be taking on the Cleveland Indians. Just a note on the Twins. And for Tiger fans, keep this in mind. I'm not going to say it's going to happen. In fact, it's a long shot. It's the first time in baseball history that a team lost over 100 games. The Twins last year lost 103, and they are back in the postseason play. Great manager in Paul Molitor, the Twins and the Yankees tomorrow night. Everybody then, of course, the winner will take on the Cleveland Indians. So, again, Lavelle Neal from Yankee Stadium, he's over there. Both teams had workouts today, so he's working for the press box, but is taking the time to join us, by the way. Well, sad day, no question about it. There was our intro. We talked a little bit about sports, of course, and I'm one of these guys. I drive people crazy, my wife nuts and this and that. I'd like the radio on at night, very, very low. Just that, I guess that drone kind of puts me to sleep at night. Great night last night to sleep, cool night, windows open, and that very low all-news station that you have on, you're kind of in and out of sleep. For some reason, all these years, it's kind of put me to sleep. And then to hear the news this morning, I don't know what time I heard this, probably 3:30 or 4 o'clock in the morning when, you know, you roll over and you kind of half hear what's going on. And the news was starting to break out of Las Vegas. And certainly everybody at the Monroe Superstore, Forest View Lanes, the station, Cumulus Broadcasting, and everybody involved with this show. Our hearts are broken. Our thoughts and prayers go out to the people that that lost their lives and their families and all the injured, over 500, over 50 people, almost 60, lost their lives in a senseless carnage out in Las Vegas. And I guess looking at a lot of the video and the film and the cell phone footage today was so many young people just there to have a good time that did not have a chance. And when a mad man basically was like shooting ducks, and it just breaks my heart every time I turn on the TV to watch it. So, again, from Drive Time, the Low Payment King, Forest View Lanes, everybody, our hearts and thoughts are with you and your families on such a tragic day in American history, no doubt about it. Just a couple of notes back to sports that sometimes seem so, you know, small in our world. The University of Toledo Rockets were off this past weekend. They're gearing up, of course, for Eastern Michigan. That'll be in the Glass Bowl on Saturday. Ohio State wins by a score of 56-0. The Buckeyes now move their record to 4-1, 2-0 in the Big Ten, 56-0 over Rutgers. The Lions win yesterday 14-7. Kind of reminds me of one of those games, you know, when Joe Capp and Bud Grant were with the Minnesota Vikings, and the Lions had the likes of Joe Schmidt and Eric Hipple, who's a guest on this show as well. Just one of those North Division games that it was all defense, and the Lions hold on to win it to move their record 2-3-1 on the year. What a day for Anthony Zettel. Four hurries, two sacks, and a fumble recovery, forcing the Minnesota Vikings to three turnovers on the day. Lions, by the way, lead the National Football League in turnover plus-minus. They are +9 on the year. So, again, very, very good day for the Lions. Boy, things going south and south in a hurry down at Bowling Green. They get beat by Akron 34-23. The Bowling Green Falcons have now dropped to 0-5. Tigers finished their season yesterday with a loss 5-1 to the Minnesota Twins. Another sad note, Joe Tiller, legendary coach for the Purdue Boilermakers, passed away over this weekend as well. Played his high school football at Rogers and went on and played college football at Montana State, coached in Canada, but did a wonderful, wonderful job. Kind words from Drew Brees, who played for him at Purdue. So Toledo and Joe Tiller passes away, by the way. Red Wings open up Thursday night at the Little Caesars Arena. Either tomorrow or Wednesday, we're going to have Greg Krupa on, beat writer Detroit News, to take a look at their season as well. Browns lost, 31-7 to Cincinnati. They dropped to 0-4. And I got to tell you, Dave Strader, longtime radio voice, television voice of the Detroit Red Wings, passed away at 62 this weekend. And one of my most enjoyable golf foursomes of all time. It happened at the North Jersey Country Club. The New Jersey Devils were in the Stanley Cup Finals. We had 2 days off. My foursome was Bob Cole, the legendary voice of Hockey Night in Canada, his color man, Harry Neal, Dave Strader, and myself. So, Dave, you'll be missed. Wonderful, wonderful broadcaster. President's Cup went to the United States 19-11. Wasn't really that close. I mentioned the Lions moved to 3-1. Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Carolina, the Rams, and Arizona are the 3-1 teams in the NFL. Kansas City's got a chance to do that tonight. They're 3-0, taking on Washington. Sidebar there, Kareem Hunt in the lineup for the Kansas City Chiefs, the former University of Toledo standout. All right, everybody, this is Mike Miller coming to you from Forest View Lanes. Glad to have you on board, everybody. Jim Garfield right around the corner. He was the high school coach of Ohio State, record-setting quarterback JT Barrett. After this, coming to you from Forest View Lanes, my name's Mike Miller.
Talking local sports, it's Drive Time on Toledo's sports leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back, Forest View Lanes. This is Drive Time, driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. Forest View Lanes, book your company holiday parties now. Team meetings, family events, parties for both the adults and the kids, birthday parties as well. Made from scratch menu for lunch, dinner, or late night. 48 craft beers on draft. We'll be talking to Rich Kenny a little bit later in the show tonight. Also coming up, Lavelle Neal. He's at Yankee Stadium in New York. We'll preview game one, the Minnesota Twins and the Yankees tomorrow night with Lavelle. It looks like it's going to be a great night for baseball that time of the year. A great night for the Ohio State Buckeye quarterback JT Barrett on Saturday as the Ohio State Buckeyes beat Rutgers by a score of 56-0. Two records, career passing, career total yards, Ohio State Buckeye records now belong to JT Barrett. And it wasn't too long ago that we gave this gentleman a call, Jim Garfield, who was his coach in Wichita Falls, Texas at Ryder High School, that we learned about an unknown quarterback that was pushed into the lineup because of injury. Jim Garfield joins us. Hello, Jim. How are you?
Hey, Mike. I'm doing well. How are you?
Very good. Thank you for taking the time, Coach. And, you know, I remember that initial conversation when Braxton Miller went down and everybody was wondering who JT Barrett was. Well, he's a career passing leader at Ohio State and also total yards. So you steered us in the right direction. You told us he was going to be a great one because of his character and the way he thought the game and the way he worked. Right on with that prediction. What a day he had against Rutgers and what a career.
Sure was. First of all, I really enjoyed coming on the show, Mike, and I love talking about the Buckeyes and JT, but he did have a fabulous night the other night, as did the whole team from offense, defense, and special teams.
You know what? I was reading on JT a little bit today. I know he ran track and played basketball. What kind of basketball player was he in high school?
You know, it's quite surprising that you asked that. He was probably a better basketball player than he was a football player at the time. We were struggling through his middle school years if he was even going to play football, but that quickly got answered. But what a fabulous basketball player and just a tremendous athlete.
You know who we read about this state for years was Art Schleister, and the two records that JT broke on Saturday was about a guy that got in the newspaper more for the bad things that he did in life revolving around gambling and taking money from people, the unsuspecting. And a guy that broke his record basically was a gentleman that you told us about his character and his family and his mom and dad. And I got to tell you, for the most part, as the Ohio State Buckeye captain, he's lived up to that.
Well, I agree 100%. You know, we all stub our toes through life. You know, he had his little stumble, but, you know, he got back on track with his team and just exactly what you would anticipate from a young man like that. And his character will never be in question, that's for sure.
What did you think of the Oklahoma? You spent a little time close to that Texas-Oklahoma border. Jim Garfield, who joins us here in the Vito's Pizza phone line, Vito's Pizza, ingredients you can trust. The loss to Oklahoma, was Oklahoma that good, or did the Buckeyes have an off day?
I think combination of both. I think OU, you know, for me and JT, that's kind of our Red River fight there. Anyway, I think it was probably a little bit of both. OU's definitely improved. Coach has done a great job getting them ready and just made some mistakes there during the game from a Buckeye standpoint. But, you know, seeing and knowing Coach Meyer and the staff that he has put together, watching what's happened since then has been fabulous to watch. And, you know, I think great things are ahead of us.
Coach, what did you think of the Rutgers game? Now, listen, let's be honest here. This was not a big test for the Ohio State Buckeyes. I have my own thoughts on, you know, Rutgers and Maryland now being in the Big Ten. Listen, they're there because of television ratings. They have a long way to go. Maryland seems to be going in the right direction. They have the Ohio State Buckeyes next weekend. But anything besides a 56-0 route over Rutgers that you took out of the Ohio State-Rutgers game?
Well, I'm going to go back the week before the Service Academy, Army. I think that was the one game that I was really nervous about because of the option and the style of football that they play. But moving forward into the Rutgers game, I saw a different type of crispness from the offense. You know, getting the two backs back in the backfield now where Weber and the old Texas LaGrange kid, the Dobbins kid, just the little 1-2 punch kind of help them out a little bit. And, you know, the route seemed to be clear, seemed to be breaking open. I don't know if it was because of the secondary of Rutgers or we're just improving greatly at the receiver position.
Jim Garfield joins us. He was JT Barrett, record-setting quarterback for Ohio State. He coached him in high school, won a lot of football games in Texas as a high school coach, which is not an easy thing to do. Hey, tell me a little bit about you know, moving forward for this Buckeye team. What do you see? You mentioned some positives. You mentioned the improving, area of the passing game. Routes are more crisp. Moving forward, listen, it's a tough, tough division they're in. Schedule gets tougher. Penn State on the board, of course, Nebraska, Michigan. Tell me a little bit about moving forward. Any other areas you think the Buckeyes have to improve in?
Well, I think just a little bit more offensive continuity. You know, when they play fast, it seems to be they seem to be handling the tempo a lot better when they're playing at a faster pace. And I tell you, the defense is going to, I think, rise to the occasion. You look at the rankings now. We've got four Big Ten schools in the top ten, with Ohio State being number 10. And I think we're sitting right for the pickings to where we're going to come up on some people and play some solid football.
Penn State is number 4, Michigan 7, Wisconsin 9, the Ohio State Buckeyes 10. Jim Garfield joins us. Hey, I was watching the game here at Forest View Lanes, of course, the other night, enjoying one of their 48 beers on tap. Had somebody ask me this, I'm going to ask you. Can JT Barrett play on Sundays?
Oh, I think he can, yes. You know, I think he's the one dual threat quarterback in the country right now that can transition into a pro style quarterback. You know, he's got a strong arm. You know, we hear things about, you know, he's overthrowing, he's not completing the deep ball. You know, there's a number of things that can be causing that, not just from JT's mechanic standpoint, it could be other things. Go ahead.
Sorry, coach, excuse me. I thought you had finished your sentence. My bad. What were you going to say?
Well, I was just going along the lines of the pro style, the release, you know, his footwork and things like that. Since Coach Dave's got there, he's really, you've seen a huge improvement, and I think that's going to keep continually moving forward throughout the year, eventually to where I think his draft prospects will increase because of Coach Day and the things that he's working on mechanically.
Jimmy, anything I missed? Anything else you want to touch on before we let you go? It's always great hearing your voice. Appreciate having you on. And great job sending that young man out of Wichita Falls, Texas, to the Ohio State Buckeyes. Anything else you've observed over this season that you can share with us?
You know, I learned something. I get caught up in the social media and some of the negative things that are being said towards the Buckeyes and towards, you know, my son, JT, which I would call him my son because I've known him for forever, and I always remind myself that the squeaky wheel gets the grease, and there are so many more people out there that believe in what Coach Meyer and the Buckeye program is doing and what JT is doing than there are of the negatives. That's one thing I want to put out there for you, Mike. It's a team game, and we got to remember it's a game, and that there's going to be ups and downs in that game, and we just got to support the Buckeyes no matter what situation we get in. But with that being said, I believe that the Buckeyes are fixing to turn the corner and make a great run here at the end.
Well, we are an Ohio State Buckeye Network station, and I got to tell you, I learned my lesson a long, long time ago on social media, especially if you're in the sports business or you're a broadcaster and you're involved. A lot of people out there, you know, our critics from afar, and the way you do things, the way you handle things. And if you take all that stuff to heart, you'll go crazy. So I don't. I know JT doesn't. I know you don't either, Jim. So thanks a lot for coming on. Somewhere down the road, we'll talk again.
Thank you, Mike.
That's Jim Garfield, who coached JT Barrett at Ryder High School in Wichita Falls, Texas. The show driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik. This is ESPN 106.5 The Ticket, home of the Lions who won, home of the Buckeyes who won, home of the Michigan Wolverines. You can catch them on Nash Icon. They were idle this past weekend. They're going to take on Michigan State on Saturday, by the way. I'd like to remind everybody again, coming to you tonight from Forest View Lanes and Recreation Center, Indoor Golf League's forming now. All the guests, of course, on this show appear Vito's Pizza phone line, ingredients you can trust. TAS Electronics update right around the corner. This is Drive Time.
106.5 The Ticket. Here's your host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to ESPN 106.5 The Ticket, home of the Buckeyes. We have the Wolverines as well, of course, up on Nash Icon, home of the Detroit Lions, who picked up a 14-7 win. Sounds like one of those North Division battles of about 15 years ago with Bud Grant and Joe Kapp and Eric Hipple and that bunch. Lions moved to 3-1. Talked to Jim Garfield a couple of moments ago. He was the high school coach of JT Barrett, the Ohio State quarterback that set two career records this weekend, passing yards and total yards. Always good to talk to Jim. Congratulations to JT Barrett. Again, we are an Ohio State Buckeye Radio Network station. Favorite time of the year for me. Love playoff baseball. Tiger fans, I'm going to ask you this question. Would you have ever thought that the Minnesota Twins, who lost 103 games last year, would be playing in the postseason with a record of 85-77? I certainly did not. A guy that's covered the team for a lot of years, Lavelle Neal's with us from Yankee Stadium in New York. Hello, Lavelle. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
No, wow, what a turnaround. I mean, I think the only team in the history of baseball to lose 100 or more games in the next year find themselves playing in the postseason. What a turnaround. What a great job by Paul Molitor. Tell me about it.
Yeah, you know, that's true. They are the first team to lose 100 to make the playoffs the next year, with a little bit of an asterisk there because I believe the wild card round has only existed since, 2012, 2013. So it's created that second spot there where a team can slide in to get to the postseason. But then again, once again, when you lose 103 games one year and you qualify for anything the next year, that is a great achievement. So,
I'm with you.
Molitor, you know, Paul Molitor's done a really good job as manager, getting these guys to take things to the next level. He started with the basics. You're going into spring training. He said the one thing that irked him most is about how they play defense, and defense became a daily priority during spring training. And the result is a more fundamentally sound team. I think getting Sano out of right field and moving him to third has improved the defense overall. And also getting Robbie Grossman out of left field and to DH, that also has helped. It's outfield that's got a lot of range with a perennial Gold Glove winner in Byron Buxton patrolling out there. And they've been capable defenders in the infield. And from there, the other things that have been delightful surprise to Twins fans and has been the fact that the hitters have developed this season. Gone along. I've always thought it is hard. The hardest thing to possibly do in baseball is to win and develop at the same time. But the Twins have managed to pull this off with guys like Jorge Polanco, Eddie Rosario, Max Kepler, Eduardo Escobar, all surging during the second half of the season to give this team an offensive push. You know, Molitor had some issues trying to fill out the lineup for most of the season, but now he's got the middle of the order kind of figured out here with Buxton and Rosario and Escobar and Polanco holding things down for them. So, I mean, they've actually, the young guys have been the ones solidifying the middle of the order, not the veteran guys. So that's been really impressive to kind of watch their growth during the second half. And the one constant, too, is that these guys take pretty good at bats. They work pitchers. There's been a countless number of times where we've seen the opposing starter knocked out, you know, in the fifth or sixth inning because of pitch counts. And that's one thing the Twins can hang their hat on is the offense. Now, should we even think about doing that to Luis Severino tomorrow? I don't know, because you're letting that bullpen into the game, and the Yankees' bullpen is absolutely fantastic. But that's the Twins' game, so it'll be interesting to see how they go at Severino tomorrow.
No, I got to tell you, Lavelle Neal joins us, Star Tribune here. All the guests on our show is presented by Vito's Pizza, ingredients that you can trust. One game, Yankees-Twins tomorrow. Should be interesting. Irvin Santana, tell me a little bit about him tomorrow against the Yankees. You mentioned Severino. They've been pretty good down the stretch, Santana.
Yeah, Irvin got off to a really hot start this year and kind of started a little bit mid-season, but then got back on track here later. He's been a pleasure to watch. Now, the thing about Irvin is that when he's throwing all three of his pitches, he's got a fastball. Throughout his career, he's been known as having one of the better sliders in the game, and he has a nice little curveball. And when he's throwing all three for strikes and the hitter has to factor for all three pitches, it really puts Santana in the driver's seat. And he's been able to chew up lineups doing that. So it'll be interesting to see if he can get on a roll against the Yankees. He faced him on the 18th of September in Yankee Stadium. Did not do that bad. I think he left in the sixth inning and only had given up two runs. So he pitched fairly well. Now, he does have the issue of being 0-5 in his career at Yankee Stadium. And that's something he wants to address tomorrow, hoping that zero becomes a one. But he gives the Twins the best chance of winning. And when you're in a one-game win or go home, win to move on type scenario, there's no other starter right now the Twins would rather have on the mound than Irvin Santana.
Hey, Lavelle, what's the update on Sano?
Miguel Sano worked out today on, indoors, hit in the cage, took treatment on his shin. They will officially make a move tomorrow as far as if he's going to be on the roster or not. I expect Miguel Sano to be on the postseason roster. I don't think he's going to start. I think he'll be on the bench as a threat to pinch hit late in games. And but that's, you know, you can't ask for too much more from a guy who had not played from August 19th until Friday when he pinch hit against the Tigers. So I expect Sano to be on the roster, and possibly pinch hit late in the game.
No, great stuff. You know, baseball this time of year, nothing better than that as well. Again, Lavelle Neal joins us from Yankee Stadium in New York. My name is Mike Miller, coming to you from, again, our good friends, of course, at Forest View Lanes and Recreation Center. Rich Kenny coming up. We'll talk to him in a little bit as well. Anything I missed here about this? I know the Yankees, Lavelle, have been dominant, really, for the last 7 or 8 years against the Minnesota Twins. You just said it, kind of led to my next question. This is a one-game play-in, and it's baseball. I mean, I almost throw, you know, the records in past years out the door. You mentioned Irvin Santana's record of 0-5, and I'm sure that's with Paul Molitor and the guys that have been around. Let's face it, a lot of guys on this team weren't with the team when this dominance of the Yankees started, so it doesn't mean a lot. Give me your thoughts and views on that.
Yeah, and that's the one that only guy that's left from that period is Joe Mauer. And Mauer pointed out, I look around the clubhouse here, I see a bunch of guys who weren't here the last time we played her, so this is going to be a new experience for them, and it's a different squad. So I don't think they're worried about their past here or worried about their record in Yankee Stadium. Is they know they surprised a lot of people by getting this far, winning 85 games after losing 103, and they have a possibility of moving on. And I will tell you this, they are 6-2 at Progressive Field this year. They would not be afraid of the Indians if they somehow got past the Yankees in this game tomorrow. And that could be a motivating factor for a team that's trying to look at ways to prepare for a big game tomorrow. So we'll see how that goes.
No, that's a great point. I'll tell you who is petrified of the Cleveland Indians, the Detroit Tigers. Hey, final question. You mentioned Molitor. Lavelle Neal joins us, of course, here on Drive Time, ESPN 106.5, The Ticket. I know you and I have talked about Paul Molitor in the past. Listen, this show doesn't make a deal out of throwing people under the bus, but I have been a guy that was not enthused very much with Brad Ausmus over the years, and every time I look in a dugout and see Tito Francona or a Paul Molitor, of course, or, you know, Kansas City, those guys that have already won a championship as well. What does Molitor, I mean, you're with him on a daily basis, and we know what a great player he was. We see the calm demeanor. What else is it about him that, you know, you're able? I mean, listen, he's got to be a factor in this. From 103 losses, you're 26 games better the next year with a record of 85-77.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think Molitor, number one, he knew he had a bunch of young players on his, so I think he has not been afraid to be hands-on in the skill development department. I remember seeing him out there with Byron Buxton a couple of years ago, helping him get good leads and working on him as far as looking for the right pitch to steal bases on. I think he's not afraid to do those things. And the other thing is, too, I think he's always been one of the great minds of baseball, always looking for that middle edge or anything to give you an edge to win that day. I think he's trying to instill some of that in his team. He's not a big rah-rah guy. He likes to leave the leadership up to the veterans in the clubhouse so he can focus on trying to win games. And I think for the most part, it's worked out. Now, they've added some new coaches this year who I think have helped. I think James Rousen, as the hitting coach, has done a fantastic job getting these young guys to the next level. And they do have Eddie Gordano, who's part of the old regime, and he's a bullpen coach, and he's helped kind of motivate a lot of the young relievers as far as coming in tough situations and coming out with results. So I think Molitor's done a great job working with these young guys, getting them to tighten up fundamentals while also, you know, looking for the little things that can give them an edge to win games. And he's also had some good people around him.
I'll be reading tomorrow, Lavelle. Thanks for coming on. Coming to us, of course, from your office overlooking the green grass at Yankee Stadium, a guy that's probably going to find a good restaurant in New York where I spent 10 years myself tonight. So I hope you enjoy that. I'll be reading tomorrow. Thanks for coming on. We'll be watching, and I'm kind of hoping, to be honest with you, for a Twins-Cleveland-Indian matchup myself. Thanks, Lavelle.
All right, thanks for having me.
That's Lavelle Neal, Star Tribune, Minneapolis. About his office right now, coming to Drive Time, looking out at the field at Yankee Stadium, where tomorrow the Minnesota Twins take on the Yankees. It's a winner take all to move on to take on the Cleveland Indians. Tiger fans, I mean, did you hear that interview? 103 losses last year for the Twins. They're in the postseason. I get the caveat. You know, it's the wild card era, which I love. I mean, the divisional races this year were awful. I mean, the teams just ran away and hide and hid from a lot of the other teams. So it kept a lot of teams in it. It kept the interest up. I love the wild card. One game tomorrow night, Minnesota and the Yankees. Again, everybody, back with Rich Kenny after this timeout. This is Drive Time. All the guests appear on the Vito's Pizza phone line. The show is always driven by the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik.
And turn up the dial. It's Drive Time on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Bar 145, home of the Buckeyes, Michigan Wolverines. How about this? Detroit Lions moved to 3-1, of course, with that 14-7 win over the Minnesota Vikings. That was on Sunday as well. Talked to Jim Garfield. A little Ohio State football talk. That was Lavelle Neal, Star Tribune out of Minneapolis. He was in New York City, where tomorrow night the Twins take on the New York Yankees. You know, the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik, was selling so many cars on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and tonight they threw me out of the showroom. So you know what? My neighbor here and one of our great sponsors on Drive Time, Rich Kinney, joins me. We're at Forest View Lanes. Great new kitchen. Great bowl. I got to tell you. Told you this before. Grew up in the tavern, bar, restaurant business. It was a long time ago. I walked in here today, and your staff was scrubbing and cleaning everything. And as a kid, I did a lot of that, Rich Kenny, so that's important too. Thanks for your hospitality today. When I got thrown out of the showroom, Low Payment King said, get lost. So first guy I thought of was you. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for coming down.
No, good stuff. Always good seeing you, Rich. Tell me about what's going on here, of course, at Forest View Lanes and Recreation Center. I walked by here today, earlier this morning. I saw a guy working on the volleyball courts outside. That looks great. This place looks great. Your new kitchen looks great. Great job up here. I didn't come up here to patronize you, but I always do anyways. Congratulations on a lot of good things happening.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, we have a brand-new menu out right now for lunch and dinner and late-night snacks, and we're just launching our new catering menu for corporate events, holiday parties, family get-togethers, so a lot of stuff going on.
You and I are sitting here. The last time I was in here, we're doing our show from your golf area here, and it was kind of under construction. It was a work in progress. There was a little sawdust on the floor and some tools and some hammers and some stuff going on. I walked in here today. What a great area of your recreation facility you have here. I know it's been a hit for you.
Yeah, we have two state-of-the-art simulators from About Golf, the ones the PGA uses. We're doing leagues now, open golf time now, so there's a lot of opportunity to get in here. Weather's getting cold outside, so it's great to be inside playing some golf.
Walked through the tavern, the bar area today as well. I don't think I've seen so many taps in one place in a long time.
Yeah, we have 48 different craft beers on draft right now, a great liquor and wine selection as well. But, yeah, craft beer is the biggest thing out there right now, and we got a great selection of different products, some pumpkin beers and some great seasonal stuff.
Tell me about the kitchen as well. I know your chef is excited about the tools you gave him to perform at an optimum level, and I was in here the other night as well, had a bite to eat. My wife was off doing something else with my grandson. I was on my own. I said, you know what, I live in Temperance. I'm going someplace close, came down. Had a great meal myself. What else is going on?
Yeah, Chef David Harrison is doing a great job in our kitchen. We make almost everything from scratch now. We're a fresh kitchen. We make our own barbecue sauce here. Our burgers are fresh. Our sandwiches are fresh. We have lamb chops on the menu. A lot of stuff you'd be surprised when you walk into a bowling center having lamb chops or having Kofta sliders. But we have a great selection from sandwiches to soups, salads, a little bit of everything in the bowling center.
I walked out of here one day again, and all of a sudden people were taking food outside the facility. So you're into the catering business as well.
We do some catering. We're doing a lot of takeout. We're going to start doing some delivery here. So we have a lot of opportunity to get food here or at home or to take out.
When you talk bowling, one thing that always prefaces your statement on this, and listen, you love the sport. You love bowling. But you always have the word fun in front of that. You don't have to come out here and bowl 250 all the time. I know I told this story 100 times. I met you on New Year's Eve with a lot of people bowling, having fun. My daughters were down here. They got together. That's when we made, our acquaintance a long time ago. So don't think you got to be a great bowler to get in the league and have fun.
Right. Bowling's for anyone from 3 to 103. It's easy, it's social, it's fun to do, and it's competitive. So you get a little bit of everything for everyone.
Other side of the coin, you got some pretty good leagues as well.
Yeah, we have our leagues are started, but we also have open bowling now Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, all day and all night. You come out any time. We have lanes available. And then come out during the week for dinner and go bowling afterwards.
NFL, college football, TVs look great.
We have about 20 TVs in the building, a couple of big screens, a big projector screen over the lanes, adding new TVs here the next few months over the lanes. So you catch all your college and football pro action.
It never ends here at Forest View Lanes Recreation Center. New TVs coming. Every time I walk in here, there's some type of improvement. Thanks for the hospitality.
Appreciate it, Rich. Thank you.
All right, everybody. That was Rich Kenny, owner, proprietor, Forest View Lanes and Recreation Center. Again, like to thank our guest, Jimmy Garfield. We talk Buckeye football. Lavelle Neal came to us from Yankee Stadium in New York. Twins and the Yankees tomorrow night. Baseball playoffs underway. Back at the Superstore tomorrow, everybody, from 5 to 6 o'clock. This is ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. My name's Mike Miller saying so long and good night, everybody, from Forest View Lanes. This show was always driven by the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik.